Now, I don't know if you've been listening to Matt and Bull in the afternoon, Craig. They're starting to eat now in the afternoon.
Yeah, how is that?
Well, I don't know. I got leftovers. They had some wheat toast. They said, "You want some wheat toast?" I have. I just want to tell you.
Was it just plain wheat toast, or was there something on it?
Well, they get samples brought into them.
Oh, they do. Oh,
that's what I'm telling you. They're eating. You leave too early in the day to see this stuff. These bags of styrofoam and come in and then all of a sudden I hear Andy say, "You want some toast?" On the other side of my partition, and I said, "Well, I haven't seen the what's it look like? Where did it come from?" And it was two slices of wheat toast.
Are they like in some sort of weight gain program?
No, they're just in some sort of getting food sponsors.
Well, very good. We've never been excellent. Able
to, yeah. So
we need breakfast. Don't we need breakfast?
Well,
I just had some oatmeal.
That's a good one. So there's the cheeseburger in paradise for him. So, well, you know, Craig, part of your health is what you eat and what you, but you still have to make sure you have some health insurance because you never know when the big one will come. And someone to help us talk about that related to the Affordable Care Act repeal and replace that's been going on, joining us this morning. Let's see, is Andy, are you there?
I am, Bruce.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Andy Slavitt, who is with the he's a senior advisory to the Bipartisan Policy Center, former acting administrator, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So I suppose that's why you're really interested in what's going on in Washington with this latest House bill that was passed. Tell us a little bit about the Bipartisan Policy Center's thoughts on what's taking place.
Well, you know, I'll speak not so much for them, but for, I think, everybody who's had an opportunity to review what this Republican bill puts forward, the AARP, the American Medical Association, all the patient groups like the March of Dimes, their evaluation along with the nonpartisan CBO says that 24 million people will lose coverage. People would lose valuable protections like their right to health insurance if they've had a pre-existing condition. And costs would go up. So at least the bill that came out of the House is heading in the wrong direction relative to what I think Americans want.
Andy, what would be the right direction in that a release from your organization says Republicans should work with Democrats to make health care better? How can it be made better above and beyond what's already on the books?
Well, let's just take a look. This is what this bill does. And it's very important in Ohio. The bill reduces the spending on health care for people on Medicaid and for people who are in the lower 40% income in their tax credits by $1.2 trillion. So this is really a gigantic cut in the Medicaid program, and it uses that money to fund a tax increase for people in the 1% tax bracket and some corporations. So the first thing that's important to note is that while all the debate is about how to make the exchanges change things in the exchanges, that's a very minor part of the bill. The bill really is about Medicaid, and it would take $3 billion away from the state of Ohio that goes to Medicaid expansion. It's one of the reasons why Governor Kasich has been so outspoken.
What would you like to see done?
Well, I think that they should just take the Medicaid piece of this and eliminate it from the bill. This is not what the bill is supposed to be about. This is not what the debate is supposed to be about. People, I think, believe that the campaign promise was to repeal and replace the ACA. I think their assumption is that they're going to make the ACA better, not worse, and certainly not destroy the Medicaid program. So I think what we need to do is focus on the surgical solutions. It'll just improve competition in the exchanges. That will improve the subsidy levels for people in the middle class. And those are the kinds of things that I think Congress can do quite easily if it chooses to focus on.
You talk about the Medicaid portion of it, but didn't it just get expanded under the Obama administration's policy? It opened up more people to become under the Medicaid umbrella then at that time.
That's right. And that's what would get reversed. In this policy, in this pass. So all that progress that's been made, all of the people around the country would lose their Medicaid coverage, which I think, you have to remember, Medicaid is not necessarily the program everybody thinks it is. It's actually a program that is pays for half of the long-term care that we receive in this country. It, about 40% of Medicaid takes care of people that live with disabilities. Half the people in the Medicaid program are kids. So when you cut it by 25%, you cut it by $880 billion, real families get hurt.
What's the going moving forward? Do you expect people to be doing? And as far as we have to wait to see what happens with the Senate part of it. Most people don't really give a lot of a chance for that. But is there still going to be a discussion on it, or is it going to be basically shot down? And then how's it going to be worked forward? What are they going to be doing about it?
Well, I think the Senate will try to produce something. And I think what everybody needs to keep in mind is the Senate only has a 52-48 margin. So it's going to need to have virtually every senator on board. And there, a couple have come out against the bill. But there's a lot of pressure, as we saw in the House, for people to, you know, get on board and support things. So Senator Portman is going to be a critical vote. He's a critical voice here. And I think it's very important that people make sure that Senator Portman understands how they feel, what they want, because he has a tremendous opportunity to influence the outcome. And I'd say this, we have to also ask ourselves, irrespective of whether we love Obama or whether we voted for Trump or put all that aside, do we really want to be in a world where every 4 years or every 8 years we have a completely new healthcare scheme that one side supports and everybody has to go change? And if this were to pass, people would be waiting for the next administration to relieve a lot of the pain that was caused, and back and forth we would go, and I don't think that's what we want. If we want everyone to get together and work on solving problems.
Well, we'll hope to see if that happens. Getting together in Washington are two phrases that somehow don't seem to go well together these days. But this is an issue that everybody gets affected by, their health care. And if people want to find out more of what your organization is doing or how people can maybe respond on their own, where's a good place for them to check things out?
Actually, the best thing I would advise people is to follow my Twitter feed, which is at aslavitt, which is A-S-L-A-V-I-T-T. I keep people very up to date because this changes very frequently, and people really need to know. They're worried. Moms are worried. Dads are worried. Families are worried. And my Twitter feed will keep people as up to date as possible.
Sounds good. Andy Slavitt, Senior Advisor for the Bipartisan Policy Center. Appreciate your time this morning and getting some of the information out this morning. Thank you.